Lord, forgive me for my attitude, but I'm getting weary with this and I need help right now. And you need to start praying in the Holy Ghost and let God pour strength and power back into you.
Amen.
You know, you can have different measures of strength working in you. You can be real strong or you can be a little strong, right? I mean, you know, physically it's like that. Some days you're real, real strong, and some days you just don't seem like I had energy today. Well, spiritual strength is the same way, but God wants you to stay strong. He doesn't want you to be weak, because when you're weak, you become vulnerable. Listen to this. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He's talking about without God. Even young people will get weary without God. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait, those that serve him, they that wait, those that get in a place of prayer, waiting on God, listening for God, seeking God, inquiring of God, fellowshipping with God, giving thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you, if you find yourself like that, you repent of your sin real quick, and then immediately you start praising God and giving him thanks and glorifying his name. Psalm 100. And into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So when you're weary, you need to start blessing him and reminding yourself of all the goodness that's working in your life right then. People get weary when they forget about the goodness of God. When you can't see God working, I'm going to tell you, you got to know he's working. You got to know it by faith. Listen to this. They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. So your strength can be renewed. It can be refreshed. It can be revived. It can be restored. Your strength can be recovered. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Whoo! They will mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles don't fly around on the ground. Where you find an eagle at? An eagle flies effortless. They just make slight adjustments. And they let the wind take them where they want to go. And then an eagle has very sharp eyesight. See, these are some of the benefits in prayer. God sets you in a place where he takes the toll out of your life. Where you move with the wind of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And where you see, where he sharpened your vision to see what you need to do. And he sharpened your ears in prayer. It is in the place of prayer that God sharpens you and gives you discernment about what's going on in your life. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that do what? Wait upon the Lord. Those that get in the presence of God, those that get into that place of prayer. And that place of prayer does not need to be a place that you visit every now and then. That place of prayer needs to be regular, consistent, persistent, continual. That place of prayer needs to be something that you live for, the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God, he begins to take that weakness out of you and replace it with his strength so you can go on another day. I don't have to live tomorrow's trials today. Some of y'all trying to live tomorrow's trials today. You're trying to handle tomorrow today. When Jesus said, don't take any thought about tomorrow, he said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, just make it through this day. Get the strength you need today. Get the wisdom you need today. When you wake up in the morning, ask God what you need to do for that day. And he'll lead you through it all the time. God ain't worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You shouldn't be either. I don't care what kind of report you got. Just make it through today. Be strong today. Wait on him today. Get the wisdom you need for today. And then tomorrow you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm back again. I remember one day, me and CC was asleep, and our door was closed, our bedroom. And I got up that morning, and I opened the door. And guess who was standing there? Gabriel. And he looked at me and said, hey, it's me. It's me. Boy, what you doing? How long you been standing there? He was there waiting. That's where we need to be with God. Every day we get up, we say, Lord, I'm back. Need you again today, Lord. What we gonna do about today, Lord? Show me what I need to do. My ears open, my eyes want to see. My heart's for you. Show me what I need to do today. Give me an instruction to make it through today. I know you're working on my case. He's your father. He's not going to turn you down. He's not going to deny you the help you need. He's always going to show you what you need to do. He wouldn't ask you to seek him and then him hide from you. He's not playing games. He say, seek me and you'll find me when you search with everything that's in you. That's the requirement. Seek me with everything you got. Which means you got a word of God. One more scripture. All right. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm chapter 27. God said, I will show myself strong on your behalf. Amen. So take that word today and believe that God will demonstrate his strength. You see, God is looking for a place to show himself strong, to demonstrate his strength, to put his strength on display. He wants to do something so great for you that'll blow your mind. Something you ain't never even imagined. Something that will surprise you. Something that will bless you greatly. Look at verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, of the Lord, in the land of the living. He said, I would have fainted if I hadn't been living by faith, if I had not believed to see God's goodness. So when I ask, is anybody out there believing God? There better be somebody out here believing God. Oh, you're going to faint.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. We'll trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will
Come on, let me hear your voice. Yeah. Till and in the Lord I will trust, oh Lord, in the Lord, oh my Lord. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. Oh, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield till I. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tale of the truth that we are teaching. Lord, we pray that you will do in the text and in us what you desire. Give us understanding, illumination, revelation, so that we might practice principles here for profit, giving you all praise. We thank you in advance for what you've chosen to say to us today, knowing who would be here and knowing who would hear this. So God, we give you praise and glory for the best that is to come because of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to call L.I.T. Lisa Bosper to come and read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8 for me. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8.
1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8 reads, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all."
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, taking back what the enemy took from you. Taking back what the enemy took from you. I can tell by that response that some of you are scared. Say with me, taking back what the enemy took from me. Now, if you believe that, come on, give God some praise today. Amen, amen, amen. We need to know what Scripture says about our rights, about our abilities in the Lord, especially when we have suffered injustices. We must be clear about the path of God, the program of God, the plan of God, and the power of God in such situations. There is nothing more empowering than to know what the word, the will, and the way of God is in such situations. David himself is coming off a 3-day battle, and he gets to his hometown, and it's been burned to the ground. His enemies have come in and taken their wives, his two wives, the other men's wives, and their children, their cattle, their gold, their silver, anything and everything of value. They have left the place in ruins. Yeah. When David and his 600 men get back, they see what has happened and they begin to cry in such great pain and agony that there was no more strength in them. As a matter of fact, their hearts and their souls were aching because they had lost everything in pursuit of battle. And there was so much pain, so much hurt, that the men became angry with David. Amen. And there was talk of stoning David to death. Now, one of the points I want to bring out clearly is you can't find encouragement most times from folk who are hurting also. Hurting folk usually can't help you. Hurting folk are looking for help. They generally don't give help. And so here David was looking for some encouragement from the men, but the men were downtrodden. The men were heartbroken. The men were so hurt that the only thing they could think of was hurting David. And so David, verse 6 says, had to encourage himself in the Lord. And I want to throw this out parenthetically as well as we walk through and pick out some nuggets in this word to help us in our journey. That when life gets to the point and to the place where the people around you are so fixed on the problems and the pains and the pitfalls, don't look at them for encouragement. Look to God. I know because you've gone through with them and they were there with you and they experienced what you experienced. Y'all would share a certain camaraderie and a certain brotherhood or kinship going through this thing. But my brothers and sisters, when it gets down to true pain, it's every man for himself. And so David knew he couldn't turn to them and get any kind of encouragement. So the word declares he encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't it good to know that you can always encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. We encourage ourselves in the Lord, one, through his word. We understand what he says to us. We understand what he's doing with us. And we understand what he will do for us when we understand his word. His fellowship, listen, gives to us a sense of encouragement just knowing what thus saith the Lord. Amen. He then goes in verse 7 to the priest and tells him to get his, what we call ephod, but it's an upod, and to put on, it's like a mantle, so he could go to God. It was almost like a covering where he blocked out other things and gave himself totally to God. It was like a secret place when you have something great and meaningful that you need to get with God on, but you don't have a private place. One of the good things about the Lord is you can create your private place between you and God. And he goes to him and he has these two questions for God, because the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord saying, shall I pursue, listen, this troop? This he wants to make sure, one, that his pursuit of this troop is right. Second thing he wants to know, if he pursues this troop, whether or not he will overtake them. Because one of the things he recognized is it don't make sense to make bad things worse. So he's seeking God for the answer in this situation, my brothers and sisters. Now, these are points and principles I want you to listen carefully to, because when we listen and look and learn from David, it'll help us in our own pursuits of the things that we are recovering from the enemy who has taken or stolen from us. First of all, David makes sure that God is on his side. And I need to tell you that there is nothing more comforting and reassuring than to know God is with you. I don't care what the battle is. I don't care how few the numbers may be. If God be for you, who can be against you? So shall I pursue this troop? We want to make sure that this is, one, the right people we're pursuing. Secondly, if we go after them, will we overtake them? And he answers him. The Lord answers him and says, pursue. Pursue. Go after them. Listen at this. He says, for thou shalt surely overtake them. Now I want to show you something here. The first thing God did, as David in verse 6 encouraged himself in the Lord, here we see God encouraging David. See, it's one thing for you to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's a whole nother thing when the Lord takes the responsibility to encourage you. Because the Lord knows just what you need. The Lord can reach you in places you could not otherwise be reached. And so he encourages David by telling him, pursue. Now, David was a man of battle, a man of war. David wasn't a scary man, but David knew that God wasn't in every battle. And having learned that, he wanted to make sure he didn't make a silly mistake by doing something God didn't want him to do. So he's encouraged because God tells him to pursue. But then secondly, God enlightens him through prophecy. All right. He enlightens him. Now listen to this. The Bible says, he says, for surely, for surely thou shalt overtake them. Now listen, if that's not prophecy, tell me what is. The Lord is telling him, if you pursue him, you will surely, assuredly, confidently overtake them. Now, why is that important for him to know? Because he knows not only is he encouraged to pursue his enemy that took his stuff, but secondly, that he was going to not just pursue them, but overtake them like they had overtaken his stuff. Now listen at this, man, this thing is getting better, it's getting stronger, and he's more and more encouraged and enlightened. But that's still not enough. Guess what else he needs? What God gives him, empowerment. Yeah. Listen at what God tells him. He says, not only shall you overtake them, he says, and without fail, recover all. Man, would you not be excited if the enemy took something from you and you first conferred with God? God, can I pursue him? Can I pursue him and overtake him? Can I pursue him, overtake him, and get my stuff? And God says, yes. Can you imagine how exciting that would be when you go there in your enemy's house, your enemy's camp, and you kicked down the door and you said you shouldn't have done what you did. I'm here to take every bit of my stuff back from you. And while I'm taking my stuff, I'm going to take some more stuff on top of that. All because you made me come down. You made me act a fool like this.
Yeah.
Listen. And without fail, recover. Oh, verse 19 tells you, David went down there, and the Bible says he recovered. Oh, just in case you can't wait till the rest of the story comes. He went down there and got all his stuff. All his stuff. That's right. That's enough to shout on right there. Because somebody's looking at this thing in the spirit realm and say, if the enemy took David's stuff and David told the Lord, look, Lord, I want to go after him. I want to overtake him. And I want to get my stuff back. If God did it once, how many of you know God can do it again? Some of you are thinking about some stuff that you've lost, some stuff that's been stolen, some stuff that's been taken, and you just kind of let it go. You just kind of swept it under the rug. You just kind of wrote it off as a loss. But now something is stirring in your spirit saying, wait a minute, I don't have to take this loss. God, can I go get my stuff? Can I go and overtake the ones who have overtook my stuff, my people, my property, my all of my stuff, and take it back from them? Do you know how empowering that is? Well, David took off with 600 men, got down by the river, 200 were too tired and weak to cross over, left them there, took 400 with him, got on the other side, saw an Egyptian, half dead. The men got him. They fed him fig Newtons and some raisin bread and gave him some water. He came back to life. David asked him who he was and who did he belong to. He said, I'm an Egyptian and my master's an Amalekite. And we were on our way with this, all of this great riches. And David said, do you know where they're gone? He said, listen, I know where they're gone, but you got to promise me you're not going to kill me or turn me over to my master. David said, you got it, let's go. He led them to the place where the enemy was laying back, chilling with all of David's stuff. David knew that God was with him. And if God was with him, there was none who could prevail against him. So from dawn, and I like that because what that tells me is when you got the okay, you ain't got to wait all day. First light, early morning, he started the battle and whipped them from dawn till the next evening. Listen at this now. He only had 400 men. And listen, 400 of their men escaped by camel, but the rest were defeated, and David got back his two wives. The men got their wives, their children, sons and daughters, all of their property, all of their cattle, all of their possessions. And listen, I think I need to throw out parenthetically so you understand, it wasn't just David's town they raided. There were two others before him that they raided. So they had more stuff than David's stuff. But since David had defeated the enemy, and there wasn't but 400 of them who escaped, and they didn't take nothing with them but their lives, David said, ain't no sense in leaving all of this stuff. Let's take it and bring it on back home with us. So listen at how God increased him. See, when you're bold enough to go in the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy took from you, you'll see some other stuff that catches your eye. that you can take with you because you are overtaking the enemy. And David took it all and lost